Only you know your nature. No one else can know. Only he upon whom your grace will descend will recognize you. This is the Bhajan Thierry Kurata to Hijane on page 113. Age after age you came. First you were called by the name Kabir. Liberating the world from rites and rituals, you made them devoted to the spiritual path. You suffered all the pains and tortures and told the secret of the real home. Becoming Nanak, you liberated the world. Then you had the name Angad. You were called Amardev, Guru Ramdas Ji, and Arjan Dev. Guru Arjan Ji sat on the heated iron and became grateful to the will. Argobind, Hari Rai, Hari Krishan Ji are the beloved ones. Satguru Tegh Bahadur sacrificed his head for religion. Guru Gobind Singh graced Ratnagar Rao and gave honor to the homeless ones. Tulsi Sahib, the lover of Nam, liberated Swamiji. Swamiji made Jamal Singh board the ship of Nam. Beloved Sawan of Jamal Singh separated the milk from the water. Beautiful Sawan developed this garden, in which he placed a gardener. His name is Beloved Kripal, and he is the protector of the Sangha. Listen to this request of poor Rajab. Protect the honor of the honorless ones. Only you know your nature. No one else can know. Only he upon whom your grace will descend will recognize you. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 113.
Guru Arjan ji lote हजूर साहिब शीश करम तुम्हारे ने हर गोविंद हर राय साहिब जी हर कृष्ण जी प्यारे ने सतगुर तेग बहादुर साहिब शीश करम तुम्हारे ने गुरु गोविंद सिंह रतना कर राते गुरु गोविंद सिंह रतना कर राते की तमार निमाने दा जिससे मेर हो जाए तेरी तैनो ही पछाणेगा तेरी कुदरत तो ही जाने हो जिससे मेर हो जाए तेरी तैनो ही पछाणेगा तुलसी साहिब नाम जरसिए स्वामी जी नो तार दिता स्वामी जी ने जयवल सिंह नो नाम दे बेरे चार दिता तुलसी साहिब नाम जरसिए स्वामी जी नो तार दिता स्वामी जी ने जयमल सिंह नो नाम जगेरे तार दिता जयमल सिंह दा सावन प्यारा जयमल सिंह दा सावन प्यारा दूध तो पानी चाणेगा जिससे मेर हो जाए तेरी तैनो ही पछाणेगा तेरी कुदरत तो ही जाने हो न दूजा जानेगा जिससे मेर हो जाए तेरी तैनो पछाणेगा सावन सोना बाग लगाया बीच बिठाया माली ने नाम दा कृपाल प्यारा संगत जाओ वाली है सावन सोना बाग लगाया बीच बिठाया माली कृपाल प्यारा संगत दाओ वाली है सुनियो अर्ध गरीब जब जी सुनियो अर्ध गरीब जब जी रखे मान निमाने दा जिससे मेर हो जाए तेरी तैनो ही पछाणेगा तेरी कुदरत तो ही जाने हो न दूजा जानेगा जिससे मेर हो जाए तेरी तैनो ही पछाणेगा.
Beautiful Sawan developed this garden in which he placed a gardener. His name is Beloved Kripal, and he is the protector of the Sangat. Listen to this request of poor Ajay. Protect the honor of the honorless ones. Only you know your nature. No one else can know. Only he upon whom your grace will descend will recognize you. This is the talk that Master Kripal gave at the 9th General Session of UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, which was held in New Delhi in 1956. The Master spoke at Sapru Hall on December 9th, sponsored by the Society for the Uplift of Mankind. And this talk is called World Peace in the Atomic Age. And it is one of a number of talks that Master Kripal gave, which very beautifully, in my opinion, tie together the spiritual development and evolution on the part of the individual with the beneficent and helpful effect of that on the world at large. And it's important to notice some of the things that Master says in this talk, which was given now 60-odd years ago, if not more, as the world seems to be falling to pieces around us. And the things that the Masters care about are, you know, treated like garbage by many, many important people. It's very important to remember that in order to effectively counter-affect that, in order to be really useful and effective disciples and children of the Master, we have to develop the consciousness within that enables us to do that. And that is what Master emphasized over and over and over. So this is the talk he gave at that time. Mr. President, delegates, leaders, and friends, it is a happy event to meet the distinguished delegates and members of the different countries of the world who have come to discuss plans and demonstrate universal brotherhood in action in the spirit of peace and loving kindness for all the world. I have love for God and for all humanity. Fully knowing that men and women of high attainments are present here, I venture to speak to you frankly what strikes my mind on the subject which is a main objective before us, namely peace of the world. And I should mention, by the way, that this particular talk was one of the very few items that we had when I first began coming to Satsang in 1957. We had a few mimeographed sheets, basically, pamphlets. There were maybe four or five of them, and this was one of them. And I loved this talk. I read it over and over and over back then. There wasn't much else to read when it came to the path. And there are sections of this talk still that I find extremely moving and helpful. Master says, man does not live by bread alone. He has to live on the bread of life. He is a conscious being and has to know himself to live on God consciousness. Man is a conscious entity which expresses itself through mind and physical body. Unless he is liberated from the bondage of mind and matter, he cannot have knowledge of self and of God. If his mind is turned to the physical body and its needs, he becomes earthly. The inevitable result is jealousies and strifes. But if it is directed towards soul, he becomes spiritual. The result will be love and peace. The preamble to the UNESCO Constitution says that since war began in the minds of men, it is in the minds of men that defenses of peace must be constructed. All masters who came in the past turned man's attention to the purification of the heart. If we want to change the outside, we should change our hearts first, because out of the abundance of the heart a man speaks. What does it avail one to wash himself outside if deceitfulness is in his heart? Purity in thought, word, and deed is what is required. The world is awakening to this truth, as is apparent from the fact that religious conferences and such organizations as this one are coming into existence for the purpose of helping mankind uplift himself. But violence and hatred still dominate the world, and the doctrine of inequality of men and races is preached and practiced. Some like to dominate over others and exact and squeeze from others all that they can and give little or nothing in return. All this has, as it were, formed habits that have entered into our nature. How can we change our mind and turn it to a higher purpose? Mind like fire is a good servant but a bad master. Guru Nanak said, victory over the mind is victory over the world. Let us consider how we can conquer our mind and change our hearts. Man is composed of body, mind, intellect, and soul. We have to develop all around. We have sufficiently developed physically, socially, and politically. We have made wonderful inventions, such as telephones, telegraphy, radios, televisions, airplanes, rockets, atom bombs, etc. But both physical body and intellect depend on the soul within, about which we know little or nothing. What does it profit a man if he gains the possessions of the whole world and loses his own soul? As we have not known ourselves, all advancements we have made on the physical and intellectual plane are going against us. In a European conference of scientists held recently, the president of the conference said that we have gained control over the forces of nature before knowing our own selves. That is why various inventions are going to help in the destruction of mankind. Had we known ourselves before we got control over the forces of nature, all these inventions would have gone to help in our uplift. All masters in the olden times, namely Buddha, Nanak, Christ, Prophet Muhammad, exhort us to know thyself. For knowing ourselves, we have to rise above the body consciousness by practical self-analysis. The scriptures say, learn to die so that you may begin to live. Christ said, except ye be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was a very learned man. He came up to Christ and said to him, Master, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You will see intellectual people fail very badly when the practical side is concerned. Christ replied, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Don't you know that flesh is born of flesh and spirit of spirit? To be born anew is to rise above the body consciousness by practical self-analysis, so that one may know himself and the over-self, which is called by so many names. Kabir says the same thing. Learn to die 100 times a day, not once. You must know how to rise above the body consciousness so as to know who you are or what you are. Intellectually, we know so much about it, but practically, we know little or nothing. It is a matter of rising above the body consciousness and opening the inner eye or the single eye to see the light of God by practical self-analysis, which we have forgotten. It is an old, old science. All masters who came in the past were fully conversant with these facts, but unfortunately we have forgotten them. Can we rise above the body consciousness? Can we leave the body and then come back? These are the teachings given by almost all the masters, whether they came in one country or in the other. Maulana Rumi said, my dear friends, learn to die so that you may have everlasting life. So this is not a new thing, but an old, old thing which we have forgotten. So the master says, yes, we can have this experience as surely as 2 and 2 make 4. Very definitely, at the feet of a competent master, as King Janaka had at the feet of Ashtavakra in a very short time. I need not dwell on this subject any longer. Those who may be interested in solving the mystery of life can refer to the pamphlet, Man, Know Thyself, which has been distributed to everyone here for further information. To achieve this end, man must have an ethical or moral life, which is a stepping stone to spirituality. Christ said, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Guru Nanak said, be pure, that truth may be realized. While pressing for the moral and intellectual solidarity of mankind, we have not laid any stress on the spiritual aspect of man, which is the most vital but a sadly ignored proposition. It is a cementing factor running throughout all humanity, without which all our attempts in the intellectual and moral planes may succumb and collapse. On my tour of England, Germany, and the USA last year, I was asked, how can we avoid the danger of atomic war? I told the listeners that we can avoid this if we but live up to what the scriptures say. We know so much about the Sermon on the Mount, the Ten Commandments, and the Eightfold Path of the Buddha for preaching to others, but we do not live up to what we preach. Be the doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Reformers are wanted, not of others but of themselves. Learn to live just as Yudhishthira, one of the five Pandavas, did. It is said that the five Pandavas were placed under the tuition of a teacher, and the teacher gave them a book which started, tell the truth, don't be angry, and so on. Four of the brothers memorized the full booklet. When the turn of Yudhishthira, the other brother came, he said, well, master, I have learned one sentence fully, to tell the truth. And don't be angry, I have learned only half of that. The master was enraged. He said, what will I answer to the king? In 2 or 3 months, he'd learned only one sentence and another only half. He began to slap the boy, once, twice, thrice. Then he said, why don't you tell the truth? Yudhishthira said, I do tell the truth, that I have learned one sentence, to tell the truth, and the other only half, not to get angry. And now I tell you the truth, that in the beginning I was not angry, but when you went on slapping me, I got angry in my mind. So unless we learn to live as Yudhishthira did, there can be no advancement in any phase of our life. Food which is digested gives strength. If we put in practice what we have learned, all danger of an atomic war will be avoided. Now let us see what the scriptures say for our guidance. We are all worshippers of the same power of God, called by so many names. God made man and souled bodies. Our soul is environed by mind and matter. God is all consciousness. When we liberate ourselves from the bondage of mind and matter, we find we are conscious entities, souls. We are, as it were, drops of the ocean of life. If we know ourselves by analyzing ourselves from the physical body, we will meet the world from the level of the soul. So we have got a very strong background to stand on, namely God consciousness. But we have been living only up to the shalts and don'ts. We shall do this and do that, or don't do this or don't do that, but really we have no strong background to stand on. There is no Hindu, no Mohammedan, I may add no Christian or any other by birth. That is what Guru Nanak said. The Israelites came up to Christ and put to him the question, our king demands a tribute from us, what should we do? And he told them to bring him a coin. And when the coin was brought, he asked whose inscription was on it. When told it was Caesar's, he said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Your souls are of God, give unto God. All masters' viewpoints have been the same. As man is a social being, social institutions of various religions are made for the uplift of soul, so that it may pass its earthly sojourn amicably and prove to be helping to all humanity, as well as to aid one to know himself and know the overself, God. God cannot be known by intellect. The outgoing faculty is prana. It is only the soul that can know God. That is why all masters who came in the past enjoin know thyself. They further gave two most important commandments. One, love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And two, love thy neighbor as thyself. For God resides in all hearts. We are all conscious entities, being of the same essence as that of God. There is one underlying unity. As such, we have brothers and sisters in the true sense of the word, and form the universal brotherhood, which can be cemented if the much-needed inner unity is realized. Now we know all things intellectually. As we have not known ourselves, our inner eye is not all-pervading. When your inner eye, single eye, or latent eye is opened, then only you will see the same light of God working throughout all. You will have true love for all and true regard for all scriptures left by the past masters. All scriptures say that God resides in all creation and is immanent in every form. Guru Nanak said, "We live and have our being in God. We should treat everyone as our own flesh and blood." Prophet Muhammad said, "We are all members of the same family of God." All other saints said the same thing. We should therefore love all. Love of God and love of all mankind are the two great fundamentals or main commandments on which the work of all the masters hang. If we follow them in practice, there will be peace on earth. The kingdom of God will come on earth, and there can be left no danger of an atomic war. There is one reality working in all. All mankind is one. The differences are man-made, arisen out of self-aggrandizement due to ignorance of one's own self. It is said of St. John that he was invited to a school. He came over and was asked to give a talk. He stood up and said, "Boys, love one another," and sat down. The secretary in charge asked him, "Haven't you got anything more to say?" He again got up and said, "Boys, love one another," and sat down. Again, the secretary asked him if he didn't have anything more to say. The third time he got up and said, "Boys, love one another. Love and all things shall be added unto you." To achieve this end, man must be ethical or moral. This is the gist of the teachings of all the masters whom we have with us. Naturally, whoever loves God will love all. Without love, no lasting peace can be maintained in the world, and without the spiritual aspect of man being realized, you cannot have true love. God is love, and our soul being of the same essence as that of God, love is innately enshrined in us. Shamus Debrez, a Mohammedan, said, "If you perform outer rituals and ceremonies of worship for 100 years, you cannot be true worshippers. If by doing these you have not developed love for him, you cannot be aware of the mystery of God." Guru Gobind Singh, the 10th guru of the Sikhs, said the same truth. "Hear ye all, I am telling you the truth. Those who love, they get to God." The Bible also says the same thing. Those who do not love cannot know God. All others spoke in the same terms. A lover of God will be a lover of all masters who came in the past, a lover of all holy scriptures, all holy places, and a worshipper of all places of pilgrimage. A lover of God will never think of molesting anyone in thought, word, or deed. He will be one, a true ahimsa, which is the highest of all dharmas. Two, he will live a life of truthfulness. 3, he will hold a high character. 4, he will have love for all, hatred for none. 5, he will lead a life of selfless service for the uplift of humanity. These are the 5 pillars on which mansions of peace can be built. These 5 pillars are cemented by developing the spiritual contact within. He looks to the whole world as the house of God, and the various countries as so many rooms therein. The governments are raised as custodians for the good of the people. They are doing their best to restore peace and order in various ways in the world. The United Nations was also formed to secure this end. The governments can control the bodies of men, but cannot do man-making. Until the hearts and minds change, the world situation cannot change. Change must come from within. As I told you already, out of the abundance of his heart a man speaks. The very words he utters are charged with love. Whatever comes from the heart, that goes to the hearts of the people. This is the sole work of really spiritual men and not sectarian, who are to do this job, without which no government can be fully successful. Paid preaching. I am forced to mention this thing because it has done more harm to humanity than the helping of it. Paid preaching carried on by professional and narrow-minded preachers has made matters worse in all religions. They, instead of uniting mankind, have assisted in separating man from man. Look to the olden days. 4 phases of life were prescribed for man. The first 25 years of age were spent to learn all the scriptures and other knowledge. After that, 25 years to attend to household affairs. After that, a man had to go in seclusion for about 25 years in order to realize his own self and to realize God. When he had realized himself and God, he was to go around from place to place for preaching to all mankind selflessly. Such persons were called sannyasins, who were required to preach. All masters enjoin us to love God and to love all humanity, with all our soul, with all our heart, and with all our strength. Masters who came in the past told us to go by the scriptures. How many of us should do this? At least those who are awakened to this truth should do that. Let them start from themselves. God wants reformers, as I told you before, not of others, but of themselves. So many people sitting here, say 600 to 700, if we just start doing that, there will be a change. Those who come in contact with you, they will also change. So you see, it requires a very rational way of preaching by those who have universal love, who follow the true import of the Holy Scriptures, which are fortunately with us today. Had we come, say, 100 years before, or 400 years before, we would not have the scriptures or experiences of those who came within these periods, namely Ramakrishna and others. Had we come before 500 years, we would not have the scriptures of the Sikh Gurus, which are a voluminous treasure of divinity. Had we come another 1400 or 1500 years back, we would not have the Holy Quran with us. Further, go back to 2000 years, if we happened to have come before that, we would not have even the Bible. 2500 years back, had you come, you would not have even the scriptures of Buddha and Mahavira. So we are fortunate these days in the 20th century that all those who came in the past with fine records of their personal experiences, which they had with the self and with the over-self, are with us today. We can be benefited therefrom, but unless we know the true import of the scriptures, understand the one underlying principle therein, and live up to them, we are nowhere. What do they say? They advise us to have a robust physical life, to have an ideal moral life, and to know our own self and to know God. There are two kinds of knowledge. One is called aparavidya and the other is called paravidya. Aparavidya consists of reading scriptures and performance of rituals and other ceremonies, giving alms, etc. These are the elementary stages required for paving the road to spirituality. The main purpose underlying this is to create in us an interest in knowing self and knowing God, and also in leading an ethical life, which is the stepping stone to spirituality. For that, naturally, we have to seek the guidance of someone who has realized that spiritual life. The main drawback is that we do not know what we are and where we are, where we stand. Our soul is under bondage of mind and matter. If you learn practically how to analyze yourself and rise above the body consciousness, you will see that you are not the body, nor the intellect, nor the outgoing faculties. We know so many things, but only intellectually. Is it possible to know oneself and know God? As I told you before, yes, it is possible by following paravidya, the science of practical self-analysis in the natural way, which can be followed by men of all ages. Unless you know who you are and what you are, and what your relation is with God and all creation, you cannot be fully at peace. This is no matter of feelings, emotions, or inferences arrived at by intellectual wrestling, as they are all subject to error. This is a matter of seeing, which is above all of them and given out by all masters who came in the past. This applies to all, irrespective of whether you belong to one country or the other, or one religion or the other. That makes no difference. Since man is a social being, social institutions were formed just to enable him to lead a life of high morality, of chastity, and of love for all mankind and past days of life in peace. To achieve this end, we have to see the unity underlying all creation by knowing ourselves and knowing God. We have wonderfully developed in the way of science, but still with all the amenities it has afforded us, we are still not happy. The true happiness will come if you will know yourself. We were talking of the governments, that they can control bodies but cannot make men. Making of men is the job of really spiritual people. Look at the kings of old, like Dasharatha, Ashoka, and others. Almost all of them had in their courts really wide-awake seers of spiritual status, whom they consulted in all matters affecting humanity as a whole, and from whom they received substantial help in carrying out the work of their states without having recourse to the use of physical force. If similar guidance can now be had, it would go a long way to secure peace in the world. You will see that our success in achieving self-government in India without a regular war was mainly due to the wise counsel and guidance of Gandhiji, which were based on moral force with some spiritual background. All of us owe respect to him. If you follow the principles as I have told you, there will be peace on earth. It is not a new thing. It is already there in the scriptures left by masters who came in the past. They all gave out the same thing. But we know all this only intellectually. The only thing required is to just put into practice what we know. Instead of preaching to others, we should start preaching to ourselves. Live up to what we say. There will be a very definite change arising. It may be there is danger of war overhead, But if we at least know what we are and try to live up to what is said above, that will not make matters worse. That will help the majority of people. It is true, when the house is on fire, a well cannot be dug out then and there. If we just start living up to what has been laid before us, namely, love God, and as God resides in all hearts, we should love all humanity and all creation. That will go a long way to help us. In the Hindu scriptures, you will find that they give milk to the serpents, Gugapir, as it is called, because God is immanent in all forms. A question was put to Christ as to how we should behave toward others, and he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. When he was asked what to do with the enemies, he said, love thine enemies. The true spiritual man looks to the very God in all hearts. He works from that level. Such people, the more in number, will go to create more peace and love for one another. So with these words, let me thank you all for the patient hearing that you have given, and take leave. And, you know, I'd just like to call attention to a couple of things the Master says in this. We have to see the unity underlying all creation by knowing ourselves and knowing God. If we can really see the unity that Master has talked about so much, if we can really see that, then everything else follows. And the effect that we can have on others would be enormous. The wide-awake seers in the courts of the kings of old, from whom they received substantial help in carrying out the work of their states without having recourse to the use of physical force. If governments could work without the use of physical force, what a difference that would make. And that is what the Master is saying is possible if we can really go within ourselves and see these things for ourselves. And he used as an example of how that could work Gandhi's work in India, bringing self-government without a regular war. And you know, if you read Gandhi's autobiography, he says on the very first page that the only thing he wants in life is to see God face to face. Everything he did outwardly was part of his program of going within and finding God. One led to the other. One made the other possible. And that is why Master says, if you follow the principles as I have told you, there will be peace on earth. It's not a new thing. It's already there in all the scriptures of the Masters who came in the past. There's so many points in this talk which, you know, speak not only to the world as it was in 1956, when there seemed to be one great demonic shadow hanging over the world, the danger of atomic war, which was, of course, very, very real. Now we have about a million of those shadows, including the danger of atomic war, which hasn't gone anywhere, but also including, you know, the way nature is falling apart because of our refusal to understand what Master called land service, to serve the environment the way, and to recognize God in the environment in all forms, and also all the other things that he mentions, inequality of men and races, all of the hatred that people have for anyone that is different from them, refusal to let other people come into our country, and the cruelty with which we keep that. All of this is implicit. You know, it's Master is saying, this is what will happen if we don't live the way Yudhishthira did. And this story of Yudhishthira and his teacher, this is one of the things when I was first coming on the path, it's hit me like a bomb, I could only say. Suddenly I learned something reading this about learning. You know, when they were told to learn the booklet, four of the brothers did what everyone else does, which is memorize the whole booklet. But Yudhishthira decided to learn the meaning of the sentences in its fullness, to actually do them. It's, his master says, food which is digested gives strength. If we live that way, all danger of an atomic war will be avoided. Well, it's a very real thing what the master teaches. Sometimes it seems as though, you know, he and all other masters, including Sanchi and Sawan, as well as all the others who have come, sometimes it seems as though they spoke in vain. You know, who pays attention to them? Even the satsangi sometimes seem to forget what they said. But it's so important. It's such a real, real, real thing. You know, to go within. It's when we have, as he said, when we see how the love of God is working within us, then we see it working within everybody. When our inner eye is open, we see the light of God working in all human beings, all forms of life, the entire world that we are so busily engaged in wrecking. God is immanent in all of that. And what we do to the world, we do to him. This is what the master is saying. This is what they spend their whole life trying to get across to us. How much it matters to them, how important it was to them and is. May we remember it with all our hearts, with all our soul, and with all our strength.
Kansan saath kari jai yari surat sagi hui sab ki pyari sun shahar mein kuch din basi phir chade upar aage tasi.
Hun aap kehnde hai ki itthon di leela kaafi arsa aatma dekhdi hai thehrdi hai rehndi hai aakhir upar mahasun de desh nu aatma ਤਿਆਰੀ ਕਰਦੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਮੇਰਾ ਰਸਤਾ ਉੱਪਰ ਹੈ.
Now he says that at this place the soul stays for a long time. She lives there for a long time and she enjoys the beauty of this place for a long time and after that she prepares herself for Mahasun. She says that my path is my goal is ahead of this.
ਸੁਨ ਸ਼ਹਿਰ ਮੇਂ ਕੁਛ ਦਿਨ ਬਸੀ ਫਿਰ ਚੜ੍ਹੇ ਉੱਪਰ ਆਗੇ ਤਸੀ ਮਹਾਸੁਨ ਇੱਕ ਨਗਰ ਅਪਾਰਾ ਕਹੂੰ ਕਹਾ ਅਚਰਜ ਵਿਸਤਾਰਾ.
ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਕਿ ਮਹਾਸੁਨ ਬੜਾ ਅੱਛਾ ਨਗਰ ਹੈ, ਬੜਾ ਲੰਮਾ ਚੌੜਾ ਹੈ. ਜਿਹੜੇ ਉੱਥੇ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹੀ ਦੇਖ ਸਕਦੇ ਹੈ ਉੱਥੋਂ ਦੀ ਮਹਿਮਾ, ਬਾਕੀ ਇਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਸੁਣਨ ਦੀ ਬਾਤ ਨਹੀਂ.
Now Swami Ji Maharaj says that Mahasun is a very big city and only those who reach there enjoy the beauty of it. This is not the matter of talking and hearing. This is the matter of experiencing and only those who reach there can experience it.
Mahasun ek nagar apara ਕਹੂੰ ਕਹਾ ਅਚਰਜ ਵਿਸਤਾਰਾਂ ਉਨ ਜਹਾਂ ਚਾਰ ਗੁਪਤ ਅਤ ਚੀਨੀ ਸੰਤ ਬਿਨਾ ਕੋਈ ਫਰਕ ਨਾ ਚੀਨੀ.
ਆਪ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਇੱਥੇ ਚਾਰ ਕਿਸਮ ਦੀਆਂ ਬੜੀਆਂ ਛੋਟੀਆਂ ਛੋਟੀਆਂ ਧੁਨਾਂ ਮਿੱਠੀਆਂ ਸਰੀਰੀਆਂ ਉੱਠ ਰਹੀਆਂ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਕੋਈ ਸੰਤ ਵਿਰਲੇ ਵਿਰਲੇ ਹੀ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਸੁਣਦੇ ਹੈ, ਜਾਣਦੇ ਹੈ, ਸਮਝਦੇ ਹੈ.
Now he says that over here there are four kinds of sounds, very small sounds which are coming here, which are very melodious, but there are rare saints, there are only few saints who understand and hear this sounds.
ਤੁਨ ਜਹਾਂ ਚਾਰ ਗੁਪਤ ਅਤਿ ਚੀਨੀ ਸੰਤ ਬਿਨਾ ਕੋਈ ਪਰਗ ਨ ਚੀਨੀ ਅਚਿੰਤ ਦੀਪ ਤਹਾਂ ਦਾਈ ਰਹਿਤਾ ਸਹਿਜ ਦੀਪ ਦਸ ਪਾਲੰਗ ਬਸਤਾ।
ਹੁਣ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਅਚਿੰਤ ਦੀਪ ਜੋ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਵੀ ਬੜਾ ਖੂਬਸੂਰਤ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਇੱਥੋਂ ਸੱਜੇ ਪਾਸੇ ਰਹਿ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਕਿਹੜਾ ਦੀਪ ਦੂਸਰਾ
ਸਹਿਜ ਦੀਪ
ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸਹਿਜ ਦੀਪ ਹੈ ਇਸ ਦਾ ਬਹੁਤ ਵੱਡਾ ਘੇਰ ਹੈ ਦਸ ਪਾਲੰਗ ਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਦਸ ਪਾਲੰਗ ਕਿੰਨਾ
ਕੋਈ ਹਿੰਦੀ ਦਾ ਹਿਸਾਬ ਕਿਤਾਬ ਹੈ ਲੰਮੇ ਨਾ ਬੋਲ ਪਾਲੰਗ
ਠੀਕ ਹੈ। ਨਾ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇਜ ਦੈਟ ਦੀ ਆਈਲੈਂਡ ਕਾਲਡ ਅਚਿੰਤ ਔਰ ਦੀ ਵਰੀਲੈਸ ਆਈਲੈਂਡ ਇਜ਼ ਆਲਸੋ ਓਵਰ ਦੈਰ ਟੂਵਰਡਸ ਦ ਰਾਈਟ ਐਂਡ ਫਰਦਰ ਅਹੈਡ ਦੈਰ ਇਜ਼ ਦੀ ਆਈਲੈਂਡ ਆਫ ਸਹਿਜ ਵੈਰ ਯੂ ਅਚੀਵ ਦੀ ਸਟੇਟਸ ਆਫ ਸਹਿਜ। ਇਟਸ ਅ ਵੈਰੀ ਹਿਊਜ ਆਈਲੈਂਡ, ਇਟ ਮੇਜ਼ਰਸ ਅਬਾਊਟ 10 ਪਲੰਗ। ਪਲੰਗ ਇਜ਼ ਸਮ ਕਾਇੰਡ ਆਫ ਮੇਜ਼ਰਮੈਂਟ ਥਿੰਗ ਇਨ ਹਿੰਦੀ। Yeah, in brief, it's huge.
ਅਚਿੰਤ ਦੀਪ ਸਹਿਜ ਦੀਪ ਦਸ ਪਾਲੰਗ ਬਸਤਾ ਮਹਿਮਾ ਦੀਪ ਕਹਾ ਕਹੂੰ ਭਾਰੀ ਸੰਤੋਖ ਦੀਪ ਤਹਾਂ ਬਾਏ ਸਵਾਰੀ।
ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਅੰਦਰਲੇ ਦੀਪਾਂ ਦੀ ਖੂਬਸੂਰਤੀ ਮਹਿਮਾ ਕੀ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਦੱਸਾਂ, ਉਹ ਤਾਂ ਦੇਖਣ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੀ ਤਲਕ ਰੱਖਦੀਆਂ ਹਨ। ਬਾਏ ਪਾਸੇ ਸੰਤੋਖ ਦੀਪ ਹੈ।
ਨਾ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਵਟ ਕੈਨ ਆਈ ਟੈਲ ਯੂ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਦ ਬਿਊਟੀ ਐਂਡ ਗਲੋਰੀ ਆਫ ਦ ਇਨਰ ਆਈਲੈਂਡਸ, ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਵਰਥ ਐਕਸਪੀਰੀਅੰਸਿੰਗ ਵਰਥ ਸੀਇੰਗ। ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਟੂਵਰਡਸ ਦ ਲੈਫਟ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਦ ਆਈਲੈਂਡ ਆਫ ਕੰਟੈਨਮੈਂਟ।
ਮਹਿਮਾ ਦੀਪ ਕਹਾ ਕਹੂੰ ਭਾਰੀ ਸੰਤੋਖ ਦੀਪ ਤਹਾਂ ਬਾਏ ਸਵਾਰੀ ਤਹਾਂ ਇੱਕ ਚਿਰਨਾ ਅਜਬਰ ਚਾਮੀ ਸੁਰਤ ਨਿਰਤ ਸੀ ਗਹੀ ਨਿਸ਼ਾਨੀ।
ਸਾਡੀ ਸੁਰਤ ਜੋ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਨਿਰਤ ਜੋ ਹੈ ਇਹ ਦਸਵੇਂ ਦੁਆਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਖੁੱਲ੍ਹਦੀ ਹੈ। ਜਦ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੀਪਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਉੱਪਰ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਸੁਰਤ ਔਰ ਨਿਰਤ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ, ਉੱਥੇ ਇੱਕ ਝਰਨਾ ਹੈ ਜਿਸ ਨੂੰ ਆਤਮਾ ਹੀ ਚੱਖਦੀ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਸੁਰਤ ਨਿਰਤ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੀ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਪਰਖਿਆ ਜਾ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ।
ਔਰ ਸੁਰਤ
ਸੁਰਤ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਸੁਣਨ ਵਾਲੀ ਸ਼ਕਤੀ ਨੂੰ, ਨਿਰਤ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਦੇਖਣ ਵਾਲੀ ਸ਼ਕਤੀ।
ਔਰ ਸੁਰਤ ਐਂਡ ਨਿਰਤ ਗੈਟਸ ਓਪਨ ਵੈਨ ਵੀ ਰੀਚ ਦਸਵਾਂ ਦੁਆਰ ਐਂਡ ਵੈਨ ਵੀ ਕ੍ਰੋਸ ਦ ਦਸਵਾਂ ਦੁਆਰ ਐਂਡ ਵੈਨ ਵੀ ਗੋ ਟੂ ਆਲ ਦਿਸ ਆਈਲੈਂਡਸ over there there is one waterfall which can be heard or seen only with our surat and nirat and only our soul can taste the nectar of that waterfall. Surat is the faculty of hearing and nirat is the faculty of seeing.
taha ek chirna ajvar jani surat nirat se gahi nishani ਦੇਖ ਨਿਸ਼ਾਨ ਮਦ ਕੋ ਤਾਈ ਅਮਰ ਗੁਫਾ ਕੀ ਗਲੀ ਸਮਾਈ।
ਹੁਣ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਕਿ ਫੇਰ ਸੁਰਤ ਉੱਥੇ ਦੀਪਾਂ ਦੀ ਸੈਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਦੀ ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਲ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਸਮਝਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਤੇ ਨਹੀਂ ਠਹਿਰਨਾ ਗਾ, ਇਹਨਾਂ ਨਜ਼ਾਰਿਆਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਣਾ ਗਾ। ਉੱਥੋਂ ਕੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਆਤਮਾ ਭਵਰ ਗੁਫਾ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ।
Now he says that the soul does not get involved in going around the islands because she is accompanied by the master and the master tells her that you do not have to go around these islands, you do not have to get stuck here, you have to go beyond it and after that the soul goes to Bhavar Gufa.
ਦੇਖ ਨਿਸ਼ਾਨ ਮਦ ਕੋ ਤਾਈ ਅਮਰ ਗੁਵਾ ਕੀ ਗਲੀ सत लोक जहां पुरश पुराना।
पावर गुफा दे विच पहुंची हुई आत्मा नूं मस्ती आ जांदी है। वो कहिंदी है जो खुदा है मैं भी उसे उही है, उसे तत्व की बनी हुई है। जब आत्मा इधर अगे जाती है तो स्वामी जी महाराज कहिंदे बड़ा लम्मा चौड़ा मैदान है, उत्थे सत पुरश बैठा है। आत्मा उसनू पछाणदी है कि यही मेरा पिता है, परमात्मा है, मैं इसे चो विछड़ के गई सा, यही असली मेरा घर है।
When the soul reaches Bhamur Gufa, she gets the intoxication. And when the soul reaches Bhamur Gufa, she gets intoxication. And after the Bhamur Gufa, soul sees a very huge plain field in where she sees Satpurush, and then she comes to realize that he is my real father, he is my God, he is my master, and he is the one from whom I was separated and I had gone to the mortal world.
Tise aage maidan dikhana satlok jahan purush purana nij pad paaye purush se mili dekh gali aage phir chali।
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਜਦ ਸੰਤ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਮ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਆਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਇੱਥੇ ਸਤਲੋਕ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਉਸਦੀ ਡੋਰੀ ਬੰਨ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਉੱਥੇ ਸਤਪੁਰਸ਼ ਨੂੰ ਮਿਲ ਕੇ ਖੁਸ਼ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਉਹ ਸਤਪੁਰਸ਼ ਦੀ ਦਇਆ ਨਾਲ ਆਤਮਾ ਫਿਰ ਅੱਗੇ ਅਲੱਖ ਅਗੰਮ ਲੋਕ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ।
Now he says that when the master gives the initiation to the soul, he ties the strings of the soul with satlok. And after reaching Satlok and meeting Satpurush, the soul becomes happy. And thereafter, Satpurush takes the soul to Agam and Alakh plains.
Nij pad paaye purush se mili dekh gali aage phir chali Alakh lok mein kiya basera jai dala dera subha wahan ki kya kehna arvain kharb sas surel jau।
Swami ji maharaj kende hai main utthon di subha ki bayan karan, itthe ik suraj di taraf chakya nahi janda ga, ਉੱਥੇ ਇੱਥੋਂ ਅਗਰ ਅਰਬਾਂ ਸੂਰਜ ਅਰਬਾਂ ਹੀ ਚੰਦਰਮਾ ਅਗਰ ਇਕੱਠੇ ਕਰੀਏ ਤੇ ਉੱਥੇ ਸਤਪੁਰਸ਼ ਦੇ ਇੱਕ ਰੋਮ ਦਾ ਵੀ ਮੁਕਾਬਲਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰ ਸਕਦੇ, ਮੈਂ ਕੀ ਉੱਥੋਂ ਦੀ ਸੋਭਾ ਬਿਆਨ ਕਰਾਂ।
Now Swami Ji Maharaj says that what can I say in the glory of that place? If we collect trillions of outer suns and moons and collect all their radiance, still it cannot compete, still it cannot match with one hair of the Satpurush because he is so radiant. What can I say in the glory of that place?
ਜਿਹੜੇ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਵਿਖਾਓ ਤੁਹਾਡਾ ਰੱਬ, ਜਰਾ ਸੋਚ ਕੇ ਦੇਖ ਲਓ, ਸਾਨੂੰ ਉਹ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਤਾਂ ਬਣਾ ਲੈਣੀਆਂ ਚਾਹੀਦੀਆਂ ਜਿਹਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਦੇਖ ਸਕੀਏ। ਅਸੀਂ ਇੱਥੇ ਇੱਕ ਸੂਰਜ ਦੀ ਤਰਫ ਨਹੀਂ ਦੇਖ ਸਕਦੇ ਗੇ। ਮੈਂ ਜਦ ਬਾਬਾ ਬਿਸ਼ਨ ਦਾਸ ਕੋਲ ਗਿਆ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਕੁਛ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਮੁਤਲਕ ਪੁੱਛਿਆ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਮੇਰਾ ਮੂੰਹ ਫੜ ਕੇ ਸੂਰਜ ਦੀ ਤਰਫ ਕਰ ਦਿੱਤਾ, ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਝਾਕ ਇੱਧਰ। ਮੈਂ ਹੁਣ ਕਿੰਨਾ ਕੁ ਚਿਰ ਸੂਰਜ ਦੀ ਤਰਫ ਝਾਕ ਸਕਦਾ ਸੀਗਾ, ਆਖਿਰ ਚੁੱਪ ਹੋਇਆ। ਕਹਿਣ ਦਾ ਭਾਵ, ਜਦ ਅਸੀਂ ਰੋਜ਼ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਕਰਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਪਵਿੱਤਰ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਬਿਤਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ, ਤਾਂ ਉਹ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਬਣ ਜਾਂਦੀਆਂ ਹੈ ਜਿਹੜੀਆਂ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੂਰ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਟਿਕ ਜਾਂਦੀਆਂ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਦੇਖ ਸਕਦੀਆਂ ਹਨ।
Those who say that show us your God, how can they see God when they have not made their eyes which are able to see God? We cannot even look at this outer sun, just one outer sun constantly for a long time, how can we see the radiance of God, which is much more than the radiance of this outer sun in our within? Before asking the Master to show us God, we should first make our eyes to see God. When I went to Baba Bishan Das and asked him to show me God, he took my head and he made me look at sun. And I could not look at sun more than a moment. And I felt embarrassed and I did not say anything. I mean to say that when we have not made our eyes which can see the brilliance of God, how can we ask the master to show us God. First, we should make our eyes to see God. When we do the meditations regularly, when we make our lives pure, when we keep our thoughts pure, then our eyes, which can see God, are made, and then we can go in the within and see the brilliance of God.
The closing bhajan is on page 143. Tere naam adabara sabari. We have the great support of your naam to protect the honor of the dear ones. Protecting the honor of the dear ones. Protecting the honor of the dear ones. We have the great support of your naam. Meditate on naam as Dhru and Prahlad remembered the Lord. Oh, the merciful and the poor, with your support, I have made all my family sit on your abode. If you wish, you make one obey your will, and thus do you ferry the boat across. By the grace of the Master, such wisdom has come that my coming and going has ended. Kabir says, remember him as the rain bird remembers water, since he is the giver in this world and the world beyond. We have the great support of your naam to protect the honor of the dear ones. Bhajan of Kabir Sahib on page 143.
Tere naam da parosa pari rakhi laaj pyaryan di. Tere naam da parosa pari rakhi laaj pyaryan di. Tere naam da parosa pari rakhi laaj pyaryan di. Tere naam da parosa pari rakhi laaj pyaryan di. 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 Tere naam da parosa pari rakhi laaj pyaryan di. Tere naam da parosa pari rakhi laaj pyaryan di. Naam japo ji aise aise Dhru Prahlad japyo har jaise. Naam japo ji aise aise Dhru Prahlad japyo har jaise. Dhru Prahlad japyo har jaise. Rakhi laaj pyaryan di. Tere naam da parosa pari rakhi laaj pyaryan di. Tere naam da parosa pari rakhi laaj pyaryan di. Deen dayal parose tere sab parivar chadayo bede. Deen dayal parose tere sab parivar chadayo bede. Sab parivar chadayo bede. Rakhi laaj pyaryan di. Tere naam da parosa pari rakhi laaj pyaryan di. Tere naam da parosa pari rakhi laaj pyaryan di. Jaan tis paave ta hukm manave is bede ko paar langave. ਜਾਂ ਤਿਸ ਪਾਵੇ ਤਾਂ ਹੁਕਮ ਮਨਾਵੇ, ਇਸ ਬੇੜੇ ਕੋ ਪਾਰ ਲੰਘਾਵੇ, ਇਸ ਬੇੜੇ ਕੋ ਪਾਰ ਲੰਘਾਵੇ, ਰੱਖੀ ਲਾਜ ਪਿਆਰਿਆਂ ਦੀ, ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਮ ਦਾ ਭਰੋਸਾ ਪਾਰੀ, ਰੱਖੀ ਲਾਜ ਪਿਆਰਿਆਂ ਦੀ, ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਮ ਦਾ ਭਰੋਸਾ ਪਾਰੀ, ਰੱਖੀ ਲਾਜ ਪਿਆਰਿਆਂ ਦੀ। ਗੁਰੂ ਪ੍ਰਸ਼ਾਦ ਐਸੀ ਬੂਦ ਸਮਾਨੀ, ਚੂਕ ਗਈ ਫਿਰ ਆਵਣ ਜਾਣੀ, ਗੁਰੂ ਪ੍ਰਸ਼ਾਦ ਐਸੀ ਬੂਦ ਸਮਾਨੀ, ਚੂਕ ਗਈ ਫਿਰ ਆਵਣ ਜਾਣੀ, ਚੂਕ ਗਈ ਫਿਰ ਆਵਣ ਜਾਣੀ, ਰੱਖੀ ਲਾਜ ਪਿਆਰਿਆਂ ਦੀ, ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਮ ਦਾ ਭਰੋਸਾ ਪਾਰੀ, ਰੱਖੀ ਲਾਜ ਪਿਆਰਿਆਂ ਦੀ, ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਮ ਦਾ ਭਰੋਸਾ ਪਾਰੀ, ਰੱਖੀ ਲਾਜ ਪਿਆਰਿਆਂ ਦੀ। ਕਹੇ ਕਬੀਰ ਭਜ ਸਾਰੰਗ ਪਾਣੀ, ਉਰਵਾਰ ਪਾਰ ਸਭ ਏਕੋ ਦਾਨੀ, ਕਹੇ ਕਬੀਰ ਭਜ ਸਾਰੰਗ ਪਾਣੀ, ਉਰਵਾਰ ਪਾਰ ਸਭ ਏਕੋ ਦਾਨੀ, ਉਰਵਾਰ ਪਾਰ ਸਭ ਏਕੋ ਦਾਨੀ, ਰੱਖੀ ਲਾਜ ਪਿਆਰਿਆਂ ਦੀ, ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਮ ਦਾ ਭਰੋਸਾ ਪਾਰੀ, ਰੱਖੀ ਲਾਜ ਪਿਆਰਿਆਂ ਦੀ, ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਮ ਦਾ ਭਰੋਸਾ ਪਾਰੀ, ਰੱਖੀ ਲਾਜ ਪਿਆਰਿਆਂ ਦੀ।
Kabir says, remember him as the rainbird remembers water, since he is the giver in this world and the world beyond. We have the great support of your Naam to protect the honor of the dear ones. May God bless us all.